When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the podcast that takes a light-hearted look at lesser-known London stories with your own personal blue badge professional tourist guides.
She's Fiona.
And she's Alex.
And this is the Ladies in London podcast. Hello and welcome, gang. It is Wednesday. We're a little bit late this week because it's been a bit of a mad one, but we are popping into your inboxes. What do you do for podcasts? Is it inboxes? I don't know.
Yeah. On your devices, in your ears. We're coming in your ears.
If as long as we get in before midnight, that's my rule. As long as we get in before midnight, I class it as we're on time. Which I think in the summer is this is what's going to be. It's going to be last minute squealing in.
Oh yeah. Well, if you will go gadding around Europe, having fun. Oh my word.
God. Stockholm, 1 degree, snowing, heaven. I loved it.
I did see a little bit of a video of you in the snow. I thought, so my good. Word.
Yeah. I love the snow. I love the cold. Very, very happy. Yeah, Stockholm's great. What a great city. I'd never been before. And it was brilliant. But I was so tired. I realised that in London, you know, I've got my routine now and I am a bit tired. But it made me realise that I am nowhere near well enough to be gadding about multiple days on the trot or even full days. I mean, I know I can't guide a full day at the moment just because I haven't got the energy, but I kept having to be like, I know I was planning to go to this museum. I'm just going to go home and have a little nap for a couple of hours. And then we'd go out and then I'd have to come back and nap again. And now I'm broken and I'm just exhausted. But, you know, have to be patient. Mm. It will come.
It's a good reminder for us to enjoy the point where you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, my back doesn't hurt, and oh, my knees are functioning normally. Oh, I should enjoy this.
Yep, absolutely. I'm a bit bored of being a bit subpar, but you can't rush these things. And I've always been do a million things instead of doing one.
Yeah,
so I'm the worst enemy on that front. But never mind. Anyway, how are you? How's
good.
Things?
I'm all right. Trudging along. We've been doing a bit of painting alongside other things at the moment, and so we're now yellow.
Hooray!
The back of the house, which is cheery and sunny and nice. And any minute now we'll be able to put the table back where it should be instead of just being in the middle of the door in the room where it doesn't fit in the way to it's just so that will make life much easier.
Hooray!
Again, so good. Again, little by little.
And it is really ramping up for the season now, isn't it?
Oh my word.
So busy. We were just strategizing this summer because I think we're going to struggle to find time to get together. So we are strategizing how to get through the peak of the summer and still deliver a podcast every week. That's our plan anyway. We'll see how that goes. But I have to say, Tuesday, my parents came up to London. We went to the National Portrait Gallery. Those who saw my Instagram stories saw that we did historical hotties. We looked at some of the historical hotties. But mainly it was to take them to the theatre as a thank you for looking after me last year when I was sick. And I took them to see our old favourite, Operation Mincemeat. And I, last week, we recorded too early to be able to say, but those of you who spotted it, I'm sure you're all aware now, but they won two Oliviers, including Best New Musical at the Oliviers. And I was so thrilled for them. And it honestly, it's going from strength to strength. I saw it again last night. I laughed, I cried. I just had the best time. I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's
That's just reminding me that there's somewhere I've got a bit of audio of having a chat and I should be doing something with it. So anyway.
Bit of a chat about what?
Bit of a chat to one of my school friend's mums. That's not the right phrase. So one of my school friends is related to the Chumleys.
Oh.
So I did go and have a chat. I was going to be a sort of a little bonus extra podcast, but I haven't done anything about it yet.
Oh, okay.
So
we'll pop that in somewhere.
Try and dig that out and
Charles
get it sorted.
Chumley.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I just that show, I know I bang on about it all, well, I haven't for a while, but still, I feel so like protective and mother hen about it. Because of course,
because we saw it early.
Yeah, because we saw it early and because we'd done the episode, one of our earliest episodes was on Operation Mincemeat, and we did our first podcast outing to it. And oh my goodness, it's just honestly so glorious. And whenever I see them doing well, I'm so like filled with joy and pride. It's just the best. I'm so thrilled that they're doing so well. And the Olivia, I mean, they keep extending. It's now the best reviewed show ever on the West End stage, which I mean, is really quite something.
Yeah. They're in a good theatre for extending.
Yeah.
For a nice long run. Mm. But, you know, the Woman in Black was there for a long time before then, wasn't it? So it's. Got good bones,
definitely. So yeah, really, really lovely. But they've had more budget, so the set has got kind of bigger and marginally more elaborate. I mean, it's still relatively, you know, low key.
Yeah.
But the set is so professional. It looks fantastic. And
I was going to say they are so delighted by doing well as well. That's what's sort of lovely about it.
And the day I went, we had partway through the first half, the whole thing came to a grinding halt when it turns out someone upstairs in the upper circle got taken ill or whatever. And the whole thing ground to a halt for 20 minutes. And when they came back on, they dealt with it so well. Natasha, who's the lead writer and who plays Montague, she just like struck up a kind of Bruce Forsyth pose. So when the curtain went up, she just sort of she hams to the audience so much. It was wonderful. It was so funny and so glorious. Yeah. If you've not seen it, gang, what have you been doing with your lives? Go see it. It's amazing. Anyway, enough of my chantering. Have we got any shout outs before we get into the pod?
Well, somebody has been paying attention.
Ooh, just one person.
Yes.
Spoiler, not me.
but has got in early, so it's good. Hold your horses for a shout out that's coming up some point in the next, I'm going to say 6 weeks. Let's keep you on tenterhooks.
Are you saying that because we're going to miss it and forget and do it 2 weeks late anyway?
I mean, that's always a possibility. Yeah.
Well done, someone.
Yes. And other exciting news for you. Obviously, we have restored the pedestal. We got it out of the workshop. We buffed it up.
Yes.
The stonework's looking lovely.
A bit of liquor
paint.
Chipped off the graffiti.
Yes. Yeah. And there were two options from last week as the way it is now. Someone in the comments said, can we have the old style pedestal, which was our favourite thing about the story, not necessarily the thing that was the most important thing.
Oh, was that our old style? I thought it was the most important thing. Maybe it was both. Oh, okay, fine, either way.
But, I mean, I think probably we can... I'm guessing it might vary a little bit from week to week.
Yeah.
As to whether it's... Like, some weeks there isn't a thing that's going to be a favourite thing. If it's a sort of grim story, whereas other times it might be, way, this is the most fabulous thing about it. So who knows? I think
we'll take it as it comes.
You can use your discretion when you're voting as to exactly what you're voting for. I think that's what we should say. But I am going to say, just vote once. just the once, please. Because there was a little bit of overlapping, I noticed, from different social
media.
Well,
medias. I eased you in this week by not voting, which I always used to do on Emily's Facebook. I used to vote for myself. But I didn't this week. I was very abstemious.
Well, also, I noticed one particular person who I saw voted for you. Now, I don't know if he's listened to the podcast this week. I don't know if he knew which side was which. But Santa, I noticed...
As in your husband, Santa.
As in my husband was voting for lying.
Well
for
done,
Titus
Santa.
Oates lying.
So remind me what the options were, because I've
so
already forgotten.
The
obviously.
Options were, we were talking about Titus Oates mm-hmm. and they're all plot or not plot or fancy or whatever. But the options were Judge Godfrey being discovered murdered, or
da-da-da.
Titus Oates caught out barefaced lying to, I'm going to say Prince, that's not right, King Charles.
Yeah.
And it was close.
Was it? Good. It's I love close. When it's close. That makes me happy.
And before we get to the final poll, there is news from Twitter.
Oh.
Because we did say we wanted, our mission was to get more than one vote.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that the votes on Twitter were split.
Oh,
so we got
two.
More than one. There were more than two. There were three whole votes on Twitter. Yeah,
wow, we've doubled that 300% in a
That's
week. Well done.
Spectacular growth. So if
I don't think anyone's using Twitter anymore. But carry on.
No, exactly. Well, that might be the thing. So
we
also
get hundreds on the others, but not yeah, Twitter.
Also, do tell us if you're using Threads instead or yeah. what you're using instead. Because I don't feel we should be spending a lot of time cultivating Twitter at the moment, but I don't quite know what to do instead. So yeah. let us know if you have a favourite replacement. But it was close. Oh, percentage-wise, Judge Godfrey, I can't do this with a big drama, actually, because percentages you'll know instantly, won't you? So Judge Godfrey murdered 47.5%.
Can I win it?
Titus Oates lying, 52.5.
Yeah, bring it on. She's back, gang. She's back. Woohoo!
There you go.
Thank you very much. So. Thank you very much. She's off to a head start. This is what we like. Start to go on. And
I was generous
a winner as ever.
Yes. That means I need to keep the running total then.
You do, yeah. Yeah, because okay. we fight it out to the death at the end of the year.
Right. Okay.
Hurrah. Okay, well, great. So we will do that again next week with this week's episode.
Yeah.
Which is my week. And it is all about... Now, I have a whole huge list of people and things and places and whatever to talk about. And what I'm talking about is something that came to my awareness only a couple of days ago.
As ever.
So...
But do you know what? Sometimes that's the way, isn't it? There's something that catches your eye, and you're like, oh, this. And then while you're like, oh, inspired by it.
Exactly. The moral of the story is don't sit on a list. Just jump in front of me and go, hello, and I will probably take notice. So this is it's like a mysterious case. Like Sherlock Holmes on this one. It is the mysterious disappearance of Elizabeth Canning. Do you know anything about this?
I feel like her name rings a bell, but I can't tell you why, and it might just be because it's Canning.
Yeah, it's not. She's not linked at all, at least I believe not, to either George Canning or Canning Town.
Okay.
Just her name is Elizabeth Canning, and that is it. So
yeah, no, in that case, I'm all ears.
It's a very unusual case, and it's one that just made me go, ooh, interesting. that's one for my friend Caroline out there, who... It's 1753, 1st of January, and Elizabeth Canning, a maidservant from Aldermanbury.
Oh.
Oh.
Now this does start to ring a bell, vaguely. Oh. Okay. No, keep going.
So she's from Aldermanbury in the city of London.
Yep.
She's gone out with her family and she's walking home and she decides she's going to go back to her lodging instead of stay with her aunt and uncle. And she disappears. And when she returns... She does return.
She does 28 return.
28 days later.
Ooh.
For the zombie fans.
Yeah.
She ends up being charged with perjury.
Ooh.
Which is not what you'd expect from this story. So let's start at the very beginning. A wiser woman than me once said a very good place to start. Elizabeth Canning is 18 years of age. She is the oldest of five children. She's born into poverty. There's a description of her, and it's not wildly...
flattering, accurate,
flattering,
yeah, flattering.
Well, I'm assuming accurate. I'm flattering. I don't, yes, definitely not. Somewhat shorter stature, plump with red and rather coarse features and a dull expression of countenance.
Oh, it didn't start badly, but
yeah, it started fine. went downhill from coarse features. Anyway,
yeah.
She's 18 years of age at this time. She is living. She's working as a maidservant to a nearby pub landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, he describes her as shy and honest, which I think is rather lovely.
Okay.
Her father died about 2 years prior to this. And the family that's left, which is her mother and four siblings, yep. They share a two-room apartment, all of them, plus another man who's an apprentice. She doesn't get much schooling as a child in... born into poverty in this era. I think, you know, I've read a couple of different things, but basically boils down to a month or two of vague reading and that sort of it. So very, very little. But she's got this good job and it's all, you know, going well.
Yeah.
And on the 1st of January, she leaves her mother's house in Aldermanbury and she's not seen for nearly a month. When she turns back up, she's emaciated and described as being in a deplorable condition. Now, I should preface this entire story by saying, we do not know for certain what exactly happened to Elizabeth Canning.
Right.
But the report from the later court case says, and what she tells the police, that she, and I'm going to read this as a quote from that court case,
mm-hmm.
She was assaulted in Moorfields by two men who robbed her of half a guinea, which was in a small box in her pocket, and 3 shillings that were loose. They also took her gown, apron and hat, which one of them put into the pocket of his greatcoat, on which she screamed out, but he bound a handkerchief round her mouth and tied her hands behind her, after which she received a violent blow to the head, which added to her former terror, occasioned her falling into a fit. And then there's other reports that said that she basically passed out from this, woke up later to find the men who had robbed her and they were somewhere in the East End. And then she's taken to a house.
Mm-hmm.
She's confronted by two girls and a woman.
Right.
And the woman says to her, do you want to go our way? Which Elizabeth takes to mean prostitution. So basically what she believes is that they have kidnapped her.
Yeah,
and are trying to then get her to basically work in the sex trade for them, you know, under their auspices, essentially.
Yeah.
She says no. So the woman takes out a knife and she cuts away the lace from her stays or her corset, rips this corset off her, rips off her petticoat, her gown and her cap as well, also taken, slaps around the face and then shoves her into a hayloft, an unheated hayloft. Now, remember I said it's January.
Yeah.
So this ain't going to be fun for her. She's pretty much naked in there. And she stays in there for this 28 days that she's away. And she says later, with no food nor liquor. Mm. She finds a few bits of fabric, scraps of fabric in the fireplace, the kind of remnants of a petticoat and other bits and pieces. And she clothes herself in that.
Mm-hmm.
But then a bit later, on the 29th of January, she's able to escape. She loosens a board, which is nailed to the window.
Yeah.
And she climbs out and she runs off and she goes straight home to her mother.
Yeah.
Which is about 5.5 hours walking.
Right.
Now, when I tell you the condition that she was in, and this is not faked at all, you're going to imagine how tough that must have been to walk. I mean, she hasn't, by her account, had any food or water for nearly a month.
Yeah.
When her mother sees her arriving, it's about 10 o'clock at night. She sees her in a terrible state. And her mother just faints on sight. And it's later reported that she came home naked and emaciated, declaring that she had received no sustenance during 8 and 20 days, but a few crusts and about a gallon of water. It was proved by the apothecary and physician who attended her that her body was in such a condition as extreme abstinence long continued would produce.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they look her over and they're like, yeah, she has not eaten barely anything in a month.
Yeah.
So as you can tell from that, the apothecary is called and, you know, he looks her over and he gives her some medicine. She's so sick and she throws it back up again. And everyone around her is not 100% sure she's going to survive. So they think, right, we get the police in and they take her statement pretty damn sharp.
Yep.
The police come in and she tells them what she knows. She tells them that account that we heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And she says when she escaped, or while she was there rather, she thinks she's heard the name Wills or Wells said. And when she escapes them from peeking out the window or gaps in the net wood nailed over the window, she thinks she might have been on a particular road.
Okay.
And the police, with all of this information, reckon that she was being held in Enfield. And they set around finding the perpetrators. Now, there's quite a famous name that gets involved in this. Henry Fielding.
Ah.
Henry Fielding?
Yes. Henry Fielding, author and magistrate.
Correct.
Covent Garden, Bow Street Runners.
In particular, the guy who basically sets up the Bow Street Runners.
So yeah.
He's, he gets involved in this and he's very much in support of Elizabeth Canning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that feels like an odd thing to say, doesn't it? He was in support of her. This poor girl has been locked up for a month, not fed, not watered, escapes, runs home. And I'm saying he's in support of her.
Which suggests that some other people weren't.
Exactly. Yeah. There are two sides that start to form to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's deduced from all of her evidence that she has been taken to the house of a woman called Susanna Wells in Enfield. And this has come to by the fact that the road that she's on, it seems to be the correct road that she thought it was. There's a local, they speak to a couple of local people who give some evidence and say, oh yeah, this sounds like it's here and this woman, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Susanna Wells, sorry, I just short circuited there for a second. My brain was like,
I was thinking, is that the camera? Has the camera frozen or not? No, it is just
no,
Alex.
My brain froze. Sorry. Forgot how to speak then. So Susanna Wells was long known in the area as what's known as a procuress for the sex trade. So somebody who basically finds young women to go and, ply their trade. But this is not the woman who sees her when she first arrives and steals her stays and everything.
Right.
That is a lady called Mary Squires. And I'm going to use a term that not everyone agrees with, but it's a historical term and it's what she's referred to. So I'm going to use it. She is a gypsy.
Right.
When they go to Susanna Wells's house, Mary is there as well as two other women, one called Virtue Hall,
mm-hmm.
and another woman who is said to be Susanna Wells's daughter. So they go up there. They're quite careful about, arresting them. They go in, they arrest all the women. And then one of the officers goes up into the loft to see where Elizabeth had been kept.
Yep.
And he gets a bit confused because he says, well, it doesn't look like she described. And I can't see any evidence of the nailing over of the windows and her escaping and any of that. He was like, okay, not sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mary's arrested. There's a court case, et cetera, et cetera. Susanna's arrested as well.
Yep.
And they're both convicted. Mary is sent to Newgate. And because she was up on the more serious charge of theft, theft could actually bring about capital punishment.
Yeah.
So she is in Newgate awaiting execution.
Right.
So far, so straightforward. But then things get a bit weird.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what happens after this.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Right, so we've got Susanna Wells and Mary Squires who are languishing in Newgate. The two younger women, the two girls, aren't convicted. They say they have nothing to do with it and that's fine. So we're going to ignore them from the story from here on in. Pretty much, anyway. One of them pops back up. Now, first things first, Susanna Wells stands up and she goes, look, I'm entirely innocent. I've never seen Elizabeth Canning in my life, which, that's not so unbelievable that someone might do that. But then Virtue Hall, one of these girls, recants her confession. So one of the reasons why Mary Squires was arrested is Virtue Hall kind of dobs her in.
Okay.
And then she was like, I take it all back.
With the story similar to Elizabeth's? Or
yeah, she basically said, yeah, that's what happened and Mary did it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's one of the major, it's her testimony that's one of the major things that goes against Mary.
Yeah.
And then she starts up and goes, I was lying and that's not what happened. Now, then something else goes a bit weird. So at this point, there's the London mayor gets involved. Now, the London mayor, now I should say we have two excellent names in this story.
And this for a moment there, I thought you were going to say two excellent mayors. And no, I thought this is surprisingly partisan just before an election. No.
Two excellent names. So the London mayor is called, get this, Crisp Gascoigne.
Oh.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Crisp. It's Crisp Gascoigne. Yes.
Now, he has not been convinced by everything. He's watched this court case happen and seen all the evidence and just gone, yeah, I don't know. And he thinks the verdict's wrong. And he starts doing his own research. He goes and talks to a variety of witnesses that say, yeah, you know what? Mary Squires wasn't in Enfield that day. And then people start coming forward, not only vouching for Mary Squires and saying that it wasn't her,
uh-huh,
but they have proof that she was in Wiltshire on that date in a place called Abbotsbury.
Okay.
So she's not even in London.
Yeah.
Now, there's quite a few of these people. And this is the what's read out in the court case a bit later. By Wednesday's post, there arrived at the Lord Mayor's office 9 affidavits from persons of credit in Wiltshire, setting forth that Mary Squires the gypsy, under sentence of death in Newgate, was in that county at the time of the robbery and cruel treatment of Elizabeth Canning, and that, if there should be occasion, the neighbourhood from whence these 9 came is ready to send up many more.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they do. There are in total 36 witnesses who come forward, wow, to claim that Mary Squires was in Abbotsbury on that day.
Well, what was she doing in Abbotsbury? She was out and about in the country. I mean,
yeah,
being seen by everyone.
Yeah. Hello, I'm here.
I'm here.
There's stories that she and her family have sort of been travelling through Devon and Wiltshire and all that kind of thing. So it's really mixed up because, as well, against that, so 36 claim she's there. Another 26 come out and claim that she is actually in Enfield.
Oh, okay. Does she have a twin sister?
Well, maybe it's a twin
cousin.
Case.
That's
the one we like, isn't it? Twins and, oh no, I'm completely innocent. There's two of us. Da, da, da.
Da.
Now, this, of course, gets the neighbours? What am I talking about? The newspapers a little bit hot under the collar. They cotton on and the flames of this start to get fanned. And this case has been reported as one of the first trial by press.
Oh, okay.
In that the newspapers, the pamphlets really get exercised. Everyone starts, you know, kind of speculating about what's gone on. And we've heard of this before, but in the space of about 8 months, over 40 pamphlets are published. And they are published under either side. So you have a real, what's known as the pamphlet wars.
Uh-huh.
On one side, you've got the Canningites, who fairly obviously support Elizabeth Canning.
Yep.
And the other side, you've got the Egyptians, who are the supporters of Mary Squires.
Mm.
And I didn't know until I was looking into this that the word gypsy comes from the Latin root for the word Egyptian.
Yeah.
So that's why they were called the Egyptians. So the Canningites are... All this has begun by Henry Fielding getting involved. And then on the other side, Crisp Gascoigne. the Lord Mayor of London on the other side. It starts in 1753 and carries on into 1754. And so there's literally sides to this. You've got pamphlets coming out on both sides and some who are just kind of coming out going, ooh, this is exciting. And Londoners get really, you know, they find this really thrilling. It's a bit of a whodunit. They are, they've no idea what to believe, and everyone starts getting involved and having an opinion and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I can imagine getting tribal, kind of.
Very much so.
Yeah.
To the point where Crisp Gascoigne is actually attacked in the street on more than one occasion. Yeah, I know. We'll come to that. But a lot of these newspapers are coming out with theories as well. One kind of says, what on earth could make this girl... to sort of perpetrate them, and I'm going to read this quote, the most blackest, most premeditated and most audacious perjury levelled against the lives of several innocent persons.
Ooh.
And one of the newspapers, of course, comes up with the theory that she'd become pregnant outside of wedlock and had gone away so as not to be found out and blah, blah, blah. And this classic thing of, you know, oh, girl couldn't possibly be telling the truth. Girl must be covering up, you know.
Yeah.
Terrible thing of pregnancy out of wedlock.
Yes. You'd think in this case that neither side, like either side, could be tarnished with, like, how sort of respectable was Susanna Wells and Mary Squires?
Well, not overly.
No.
But then I suppose Elizabeth Canning is also in poverty.
Yeah.
But, you know, her boss does say, like, she's shy and she's honest and she works hard and everything. So I suppose there's an element of respectability there. But equally, she's still essentially a chambermaid from the wrong side of the track. So,
yeah. So, like, both sides are the sort of people who typically other people take against.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Susanna who's, well, like I say, a procuress. So that, you know, that would have marked her name. And, you know, by the very fact that and Mary Squires is...
Legality of that being...
So the legality... Oh, okay. The legality of the... I'm coming back to my harlots again.
Yeah. How strange. Yes, I don't
know. You asked. The legality of that is that a lot of these houses are in a kind of grey area of the law.
Yeah.
If you keep a house of good repute, as in you're quiet, your patrons aren't tumbling out to the street in fist fights and there's not like rowdy behaviour going on.
Pay your taxes.
Bearing in mind that a lot of these people, a lot of these magistrates, a lot of these policemen, mm-hmm. a lot of everything are visiting your establishments.
Yeah.
They're prepared to look the other way. Procuring people, clearly, you know, kidnapping wouldn't be okay. hence why Susanna was also arrested. But interestingly, theft was higher up on that list.
Yeah.
Than badness.
Yes.
If that's a word. It's not a word. We're going with it. Than the kidnap. So yeah, things are a bit twisted. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And I think, you know, especially with the sex trade, there's a lot of, if I didn't see it, it didn't happen. Because I'm happy to kind of use the, you know, the services type thing. So it's all a bit grubby and murky, but
yeah. Yeah.
Now, after all of this and all of these pamphlets flying around, Elizabeth Canning is arrested on the charge of perjury. So if you're not sure what perjury is, it is where you basically, whilst under the oath in a court of law, you tell falsehoods, essentially. And so... And this is what's interesting is it's not just that people think Elizabeth Canning has got the wrong people. It's that they don't believe her story. They literally say, nah, she wasn't arrested and banged. Yeah. And it's totally possible that she could have got the wrong people.
Yeah.
But it still happened to her.
Yeah.
But that's not where a lot of people are going. They're going, she's lying. Never happened to her. And the one thing that cannot be disputed is the state that she was in when she escaped and managed to get home.
Yeah.
But there's no actually, they can't find any evidence, actual evidence on site in Susanna's house for Elizabeth Canning being kept there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things get confused. And that's kind of where this
the whole doubt,
disbelieving stuff. Yeah, where the doubt comes in, really.
Yeah. So when she's arrested, are they released?
Yeah, they are. Well, yeah. Not when she's arrested, but when the court case goes through and like yeah. I say, these witnesses come forward, et cetera, et cetera. But the jury come to a decision that Elizabeth is indeed guilty of perjury. But they do say that it's not willful or corrupt.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So they're almost going, yeah, she lied, but she, you know, she didn't necessarily do it on purpose, which is really confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And I'm sure if I trailed back through the court documents, which there are some of, and really did a deep dive, it might become clear as to why they'd come to that decision. But from everything I've read so far, it just feels a bit odd that they're kind of like, yeah, no, cool, she lied, but she doesn't think that she lied, so it's sort of fine.
Yeah, so really. Kind of like saying that she believes it.
Yeah.
But that is a weird thing to believe erroneously.
Mm. It is, isn't it? It is. And I mean, it's more likely... Well, from where I sit anyway, not that I know, you know, huge amounts, but from where I sit that it absolutely happened to her, but, you know, the information that she gave to the police ended up pointing in the wrong direction and at the wrong people. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, so she is convicted of perjury.
Mm-hmm.
Squires and Wells' convictions are overturned, so they are released.
Yeah.
It's not the first time that Susanna Wells has even been convicted. She was convicted of perjury in a previous life, and she's had a couple of husbands who've done dodgy stuff too. So it's not her first shout behind bars, but okay. She's overturned. And Elizabeth Canning is sentenced to 7 years transportation.
Ooh.
Right?
It's
pretty harsh.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh. I should say it's not transportation to Australia in this occasion, transportation to what it was then termed British America.
I was just saying, so what, to like US. Brighton? Or like where yeah. was the lesser? No.
The Isle of Wight.
Yes.
off to America.
America. Okay.
So it doesn't seem like she's going as a prisoner.
Yeah.
But it feels more like she's going as a slap on the wrist of tut tut, don't do that again, go away, think about what you've done, and then you can come back.
Okay. Because
she's not imprisoned when she gets to America.
Right.
We'll come to that shortly. But anyway, so even after the court case is finished, the debate rages on. Mm-hmm. And many people are still fiercely supportive of Elizabeth Canning. And they do believe that she's been wrongly convicted, which I feel has some legs to it, to be honest. And this is where we find Crisp Gascoigne getting attacked in the street.
Right.
What I also think is very telling is that during her trial, he stands for Parliament. And the seat that he's standing in, he comes dead last.
Ah.
And clearly, public opinion is against him a bit, to the point where he even publishes a couple of pamphlets trying to defend himself.
Oh, okay.
Literally, you know, a letter to the, I think it's like the City of London liveries from the Lord Mayor Quentin. Quentin Crisp? No. Crisp. Gascoigne. And so he literally sends out pamphlets almost addressed like as a public letter, open letter going blah blah blah, this is why, you know, whatever. But his reputation is kind of sullied after that, and he never really, you know, nothing really happens for him again. So Elizabeth Canning, she is held at Newgate.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of protests against her incarceration, against the what's happened to her, but the year later, in 1754, she is shipped to British America. Now, she was originally due to sail on a convict ship, but the crew essentially stood up and just went, nah, not having it. They refused to take her. So she sailed on a later ship.
Right.
Which I don't believe was a convict ship, but I might be wrong about that. And then she arrived in Wethersfield, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And her supporters in the UK, of which there were many, arranged for her to go and live with a Methodist reverend, which she did.
Okay.
And rather than go and live with him and be either imprisoned or be a servant, he took her in as part of the family.
Right.
So I think this is very telling, actually. Yeah. Because not only has she not been sent to a jail over there.
Yeah.
Or to any forced labour or anything like that. She's allowed to be free and she's literally gone, we're going to give you a whole new family.
Yeah.
And she never comes back.
Okay.
She never comes back. Her story, her end, is actually not bad.
Yeah.
She married a man called John Treat and had 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John Treat, great name, but it's not the greatest of all the names because we've had Crisp Gascoigne. One of her children...
We're having a buffet.
We actually are having a buffet. He's called Salmon.
Whee!
Salmon Treat.
Salmon Treat. Oh.
Which, honestly, is... So if we think that she's shipped to America when she's probably by this point about 19.
Yeah.
She marries this guy, has 4 kids, and she dies rather suddenly in 1773. So she is in America for almost 20 years.
Okay.
And she's buried in Wethersfield, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So it does seem that once she went to America, and there's not much that we know about her when she's over there, but it does seem that she's been able to put it behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Got married, hopefully was happy, had children, hopefully was happy with that. And lived her life in America, in the new America.
Well.
But we still do not know exactly what happened to her.
And do we know anything about the others, Squires and Wells, with the story peters out?
I mean, I'm sure if I did some digging, I'm sure they popped up in other court documents at some point, let's face it. But nothing that I could find on a cursory look. But yeah, they carry on, really. So it's an odd case. It's an odd story.
Yeah.
And to this day, we still can't answer that question of what exactly happened to Elizabeth in that month at the start of 1753. And if it whatever happened to her happened the way that she said it did, who was the perpetrator of that? We don't know.
Mm. Are they Old Bailey records, or are they different?
No, they're not, because at the time, kidnapping was seen as a civil case and not a criminal one.
Right.
But then they do end up in Newgate, so I don't quite know how that happens. But I don't think the records...
No, I was trying to work out, remember when the records go back to, because they are fabulous, the Old Bailey records. Mm. But they might
not sure,
not
to be honest. I was reading that it was civil, but then you wouldn't end up in Newgate if it was civil, so that's a bit confusing.
Well, presumably the theft, the kidnapping could be civil, yes, and the theft is
that's
criminal.
True. That's very true.
So anyway. In that weird way, yeah. So,
Ooh. So that's the mysterious
intriguing
disappearance of Elizabeth Canning.
Yes.
Podcast Pedestal.
So Podcast Pedestal then.
Ah.
For this week. Now, it was always Emily's rule that the person who presented was the first one to pick. So I guess that means it's me.
That's funny, because I feel like it should be the other way.
I do too.
And
well,
I don't know
then,
whether
you pick
I...
first.
Well, I've gone and said that now, haven't I?
Stymied yourself, haven't you? So are we doing our favourite... What, a favourite bit or the most important?
The most important kind of... bit, I don't know. Yeah. Favourite, like, this is a really good example of none of this is really, hey, that's my favourite moment. unless we do go for favourite, in which case I'm quite tempted by that delicious salmon treat just at the end.
I mean, of all the other kids had normal names and they're just the fourth one. She obviously had a complete breakdown. I'm going to call him Salmon, honestly. Yeah, so what do you think? What do you reckon is the real point at which the whole thing turns on a dime?
Well, though it's, I mean, I guess it's the policeman who goes, nah. Like the one who goes up in the hayloft and goes, because that without that, it feels like it would have just sort of sailed.
Yeah, well, yes. Through. Yeah,
but then again, you know, other people weighing in as well.
I think it's Chris Gaspar as well coming in. And
yeah, and I mean, convinced. Henry Fielding on the other side
yeah,
as well, having two big kind of, you know, heavyweights of... But yeah. I could go with the policeman.
With the policeman?
Yeah.
I'm going to go... Okay, well, so you're going to go with the
policeman.
Well,
I mean, obviously, I want to go with the salmon treat. But if you won't let me do that, then...
Well, we can have a second vote on which is the better name, Crisp Gascoigne or salmon treat. Because I think that's absolutely genius. So you're going to go with the policeman who had a look in the hayloft and couldn't quite figure out any evidence for that. I'm going to go for the 36 witnesses from Wiltshire.
Okay.
Because that's one of the really credible bits of the court case, which kind of turns it against her.
But then if there's also 20 saying she's in London, you'd think that they would sort of cancel out a bit.
You would, but they don't.
No, yeah.
So that's why I think they're so important.
Yeah.
Because if they weren't, and you know, clearly someone there is lying.
Yes.
Whether it's the Wiltshireans or the Enfieldians, someone there is lying. And in the whole, like in the entire case, there is a miscarriage of justice, whether it's against Elizabeth Canning or whether it's against Mary Squires and Susanna Wells. One way or the other.
Yeah.
Because it can't be both.
No.
One way or the other, there's a miscarriage of justice.
Yeah. Well, so are we making this a mini season? Are we going for lying and miscarriage of justice?
We are doing,
and pamphlets.
We are doing that, aren't we? I'm going to go for the 36 witnesses from Wiltshire.
36 votes.
Which is very hard to say after a few
versus
minutes.
Unconvinced policemen.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So ponder, folks. And I don't know when did you used to put out the votes? I meant to do it on Sunday. Oh, but actually, I had a lovely day on Sunday trying to catch up with people who were running the marathon.
Oh, nice.
And it was so busy.
Yeah.
And for years, we used to go and stand at the end of our road that was about mile seven and a half, sort of just south of Surrey Quays. And there was, you know, it was relatively quiet pavements around there. And then, you know, I didn't realise that just round the corner near Canada Water Station was like heaving.
Yeah.
But maybe it's also got busier.
I don't know, over the last few years.
So I meant to do my plan was to do the podcast pedestal on Sunday morning, and I got distracted, so it was kind of Sunday night. But
so we'll just vaguely say
Sunday-ish over the weekend, early Monday, round about then. Give you a chance to listen in beforehand, and then
sounds great.
Yeah,
all right,
we'll do that.
Well, those are your options for this week, team. You've got the policeman, or you've got the 36 wheelchair witnesses. Amazing!
Yay!
Anything to say before we head off into the ether for another week? Be nice to each other.
Yeah. I mean, generally, to that.
Play nicely with the other children.
Yes. Or yeah, as they always say on those adverts for soap powder, keep away from children.
I know. Every time they say that, I go, I do.
What, always?
Keep away from children. Sure thing. You got it, Buzz. Yes. Play nice to the other children and keep away from children.
Yes, both of those.
Very good advice.
And
fabulous. And we'll see you next week for more fun.
Yay.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good one, gang.
Bye.
Bye.